Okay. So, the recorder's running now, and I'd just like to first of all kind of lay out how this normally goes, and then let's find out if you're comfortable with running that. So the way it normally goes is everything's confidential, in the sense that the only person who will hear the raw data, meaning the recording itself, is me. And then I transcribe it. And when I transcribe it, if one of you says something that identifies yourself, that's redacted. So that what that does, I hope, is increases your ability to speak very freely and say anything you want. Because there's enough people in the room. We have six people, seven people in the room, I can count now. We have seven people in the room, and nobody even knows who you are, and even if they did know who you are, they wouldn't know which among the seven it is, okay? So, you can use names, you can say anything you want. The only person who will know who said it is me, and although I did just hear everybody's name, I've forgotten everybody except one of them, because I know him from quite far back. So, I won't even know necessarily who said it. But I will have, like, participant A, participant B, stuff like that. Then after I transcribe the data, then I put together an analysis of the data in which I talk about the themes that emerge from it and some of the interesting observations that you say. And that's what I provide to the vice president and the president and the dean. Does that procedure sound okay?
Sure. Great. I mean, it sounds like your show. We're just watching.
Okay. Then let's talk a little bit about what I'm looking for. What I'm generally looking for is your perceptions, your attitudes, and you know, your recommendations. It's going to sound trite, but there's no right or wrong answer. And what that means is, we don't qualitative research like this. We're really going into it not knowing the answer at all. And part of the reason they chose me to do this is that, you know, I've got experience in qualitative research. The other reason is I'm not associated with counseling at all. I'm not associated with veterans directly. I'm not associated with, you know, any of these questions or anything like that. So I'm really just looking to learn, you know? And I'm looking to learn what it's like, you know, what your experiences are like, how it's going here. How you're getting served, how you're not getting served, how counseling's helping, how it's not helping, how faculty are helping, how they're not helping, things like that. I'm not really looking for the whys even, like why is it not working? And I'm not asking for you to do this kind of heavy-duty analysis. That's kind of our job. But just how is it going for you? What are your experiences? What are your perceptions? That's what we're looking for. And if you have something that's secondhand, that's okay too. If you want to say, all right, here's the exact thing that happened to a buddy of mine, that's okay too. But if it's a little bit further removed, like third hand, well, I heard about, and then it's like, okay, did that person actually tell, you know? That's not generally very helpful, because we know that, I think, so my uncle is a career Marine, and he used to tell me the rumors that would kind of get escalated after only a few days, and then it would take, well, then one day everything was proved wrong, but it would take much longer to actually get those rumors out that it was wrong. So there's plenty of rumors, but we're not looking for those. What we're looking for is your personal experience or something that you know to be true. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right. So we start with a real broad question. Tell me just a teeny bit about yourself. You know, how long you been here, and in general, you know, how are things going? How long we could just go around the room, make sense here. Sure. Why don't you start?
Okay. I've been here since March 2010.
Yeah.
Are you like pretty, what major or?
You can tell me what you major in, but just general, you feeling like you made the right decision to come here?
Well, I grew up here. I came here when I was in high school for summer school, so I was naturally going to come back here. Community college saves money on school and stuff. Going into a medical field, so it's a lot of school there.
Yeah.
I have liked my teachers so far. I really, really have a lot of, the faculty has been really good to me. Counseling, however, was a horrible experience for me when I first came here.
So we're going to talk more about that later. Yeah. How about you? How long have you been here?
I've been here for about 2 years. I took, I think, 2 or 3 quarters off throughout that whole 2 years, and hopefully I'll be graduating this quarter. I came here. It was easy to get into here than San Jose State because I came in kind of, I guess, for one of their semesters, of course, for San Jose State. And here, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, 2 weeks, come back in, we'll get you in classes. Whereas there, it's like, yeah, it's more of a wait process. So it was a lot easier to come here than there. That's kind of why I chose it.
And do you think that was the right decision to come here?
It did all the easy stuff. I mean, I got all the, like, the community college level stuff out of the way. Yeah. Let me focus on those higher level classes when I go into there. And using the assist.org, because the counseling here hasn't been the greatest, kind of was like the best thing I could do.
Second quarter here. I have just had a great time since I've been here. I'd say the reason that I chose the answer specifically was because it had an established program for vets. Right there on the homepage, top right, it's got veteran services or something like that. I clicked the tab, followed the very simple steps, and I've had just a really easy, pleasant time. Counseling may be another issue, but we can talk about that later, like you said. But I would say Rob specifically was the one who had pulled it all together for me, because as a transitioning Marine, I had a lot of little questions, and I didn't really have a buddy to call or anybody who has actually been through this particular experience. And Rob was there. He, gave me his cell phone, said, call me anytime. I'll help you get in through DMs and show you, the little tricks and stuff like that, to make things go along quick. And he hooked me up. And I think that we need more, more people like that.
I'm Andrea. This is my first term here. I'm going to have to echo what Steve said. I started coming here in March, and Sherry really helped me as well. I also had trouble with the counseling. Veterans office, I went down there, and they really helped me out with the whole transition process. So I'm really glad I chose to come here.
I've been here for about a year and a quarter now, and so far I've had mixed feelings about De Anza overall, just because there's things that I thought should be here for people, and then there's some things that weren't here when I first came here, and now that they're here, it's made me feel a lot better at being a student here, and especially helping out with students around me, the other veterans, fellow veterans, and helping us get plugged into other things as well. So I can't complain. I do have some mixed reactions when it comes to the financial office and even counseling, just a tad bit. But overall, again, my experience has been pretty much medical.
Hi, welcome. We're just going around the room and saying a little bit about how long you've been here and how it's going.
I'm also the same. I've been here for about a year and a quarter. And I'm going to have to follow with what was said right before me, that financial aid and stuff like that has been somewhat of an issue. Again, everything as far as what the veteran, our veterans group and Veterans Administration, is that what you guys go by?
We're actually just the end of the school.
The veterans office has been great. Thanks to Rob. Rob's been a very important part. Everything's been cool as far as that respect.
I'm George, I've been here about a year now, last April. So far, everything's been, okay for me. I like the program that, as far as what veterans are entitled to, it could be a little more, but I'm pretty content.
Right. So I work at the veterans office. I like DANZA a lot. I like the quarter system. I'm finishing up my second year.
It's been a great experience, and I hate to bash the counselors, but that is just a serious problem that affects the veterans office here at Danville mostly. And, well, it affects every veteran also. But other than that, I've had a great time doing good in school, and I don't think I would want to be anywhere else, any other college.
Okay. So, thank you. So we've heard a couple of complaints about counseling. Like I said, we're going to kind of save that just a little bit for later, because I do want to talk about some other issues. The first one is faculty, and specifically instructional faculty, your teachers, your professors. And from now on, we're not going to necessarily go around the room. Anybody could just kind of chip in. What's your experience in the classroom been like? Are there some high points or some low points? What's worked for you? What hasn't worked for you?
I know that there was a program that the instructors went through, I believe, where some of the veterans talked about their experiences to the teachers. I never heard the feedback, though, coming back from the teachers talking about that conference. Mm-hmm. I thought that was supposed to be part of the transition that they were supposed to talk about with like other people in the class, but I never heard that, you know, follow through. Other than that, that was just a question.
Yeah. Do we know how that went, you guys? Who were there? You guys get some first-hand testimony.
They did two of them, right? You mean when they were asking us questions, like the teachers for the panel?
Right.
Yeah, they asked us a few questions.
Okay. Could you tell us maybe what the atmosphere or the attitude afterwards was like? Maybe
they typically want to serve us, but they're not. I don't know. It seems like
it's retroactive.
Yeah,
that's what it is. What it really comes down to, when you're looking at post review, especially on an event like that, it's okay. We did what we were supposed to do. You know, we said that we can help out. But the overall, you know, the mentality about it is, you know, we really can't help them out when we have other students to help out right now. And the main focal point right now is always on the budget cuts. And a lot of them won't realize, like, hey, you know, the students get affected, but that doesn't mean that the veteran's going to get affected, because the veteran's always going to be here. So something like that, you know, as far as our transition state is concerned, when you look at it from a social collective standpoint, it really limits us as far as what would work for us overall, because we never got that back, you know. We never heard about it. Therefore, we think that, you know, something happened and it was just done. So it was just a check in the box. And I'm not one to, like, check in the box and just let it be, so.
But you asked about personal experience.
So what I'm hearing right now, no, this is fine. Yeah.
For overall faculty.
No, hold on. It's fine. You can go in any direction you can handle. But I just want to understand what I'm hearing about this, is that you're suggesting that there was this kind of opportunity, this effort to try to better understand the needs of veteran students, and then you feel as if there was no kind of follow-up. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the follow-up could have been better. Probably a lot more instructors could have gone.
Yeah.
I know that we're missing some instructors from mm-hmm. there that actually committed to it, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a disappointment, because it's like, okay, if you don't really care about, you know, the veteran or the student, you know, because we're students too, you know, we're veterans at the same time, then what is it really showing on as far as the academia is concerned when it comes to you? Is it just about the program? Because here it is, you could have an instructor that says, you should go into my course, you know, like, you should go into my course. They'll advertise it, but it's like, all right, so really, are you going to help me out, you know, if I have a problem, if I'm a veteran? Case in point would be, I know me and my counterpart over here, we both bumped into a professor who was pretty condescending towards us and pretty much just put us on blast, you know, what veterans, what he thought about veterans, what he thought about war, and it just made us feel totally want to be disassociated of the class. And I never finished that class, to let you know, because I just didn't want to be in there.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What do you mean he was condescending?
Condescending, in a way, he came across as made us feel like...
Can you give me an example?
I felt dumb in that class.
What did he say?
Like, just, What were some of the things that he said, George?
I honestly don't remember.
Pretty much, he's like, well, you know, because you guys, he kind of assumed that there was nobody who's had some world experience. So his viewpoints were really pressured into this instruction. And because of that, you know, and when I challenged, he said, well, I'm pretty surprised that you know about that because, the example, I forget what it was. I think it was in regards to, we're talking about this one story that had to do with the ego, the id, and the superego. And I said that the story sounds like an allegory to it, you know. And the reason why, it's because it sounds like, you know, just the way the structure was going, he's just like, well, you know, I'm surprised that you actually said that, you know, because, you know, I wouldn't expect that from the likes of you. And
did he know you were a veteran student?
Yes, he did know.
And do you think that there's some kind of a connection when he was condescending like that? Do you think it's partly because you're a veteran student?
Yeah, and I think he showed a lot of favoritism towards other students, specifically athletes, and that really did bother me.
It's funny, because you're an athlete.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did cross country for Deanza, so, I mean, I have very mixed views about Deanza sometimes. And I love it. Again, you're going to hear good stuff about it, and you hear bad stuff about it from me.
Yeah, as far as, like...
You can have him follow up.
The only reason I brought that up as a personal issue is because you still have students that, you know, they find out you're a veteran or something like that. One of those questions always comes up, how many people did you kill, or did you tell anybody? And that's what I thought, you know, that's the thing that I thought the education that the teacher is going through would help to integrate, you know, letting students know, like, that's not a question you ask, you know, people, because some people, you know, did have to do that, and sometimes it's a little traumatic, you know. And as for me, I don't, you know, I don't get bothered, but there is, you know, some special case issues where that is kind of upsetting.
Yeah.
Well, like, on that, like, to play a little bit devil's advocate, like, it'd be kind of weird, you know, if a teacher was like, oh, by the way, if you guys ever meet any veterans, don't ask this question. I mean, if we maybe had that vet panel and then let students come in too, that would have been another thing. That would have been something that would have been more, and then people and like walking around the quad to be like, hey, you know, I just went to this conference and it was awesome. We got to talk to some vets and, you know, they feel comfortable when you do this. And then that the word spreads. It's not, when you have that with just the faculty, it's kind of hard for the faculty to be like, okay, we're going to stop class right now. We're going to just talk about this. So I think with
but at the same time, you're also hoping that students would actually take interest.
Yeah.
You know, if I, had I never joined the military, the type of guy I was, I wouldn't give you the time of day, plain and simple, because this is how a lot of these kids are. You know, they don't care. There's no care. See them on the phone in class, stuff like that.
I've never had faculty ask me if I killed anybody, but a lot of students.
Right.
And as soon as they asked me that, I was like, you know, that's not how you talk. Don't ask people that. I'm like,
yeah, I always squirm away.
You know, it might be bad for your situation.
So back to instructors. There's been some very paramount instructors that have actually shaped the way of how I learn, and I've shared some of the classes with other veterans, and they actually say that, you know, it's a great atmosphere with some of the instructors that we've actually experienced. A lot of them engage in like actually like hands-on type of instruction, where I know I take a geology class per se, and some of the labs sometimes, it's just awesome because it's actually, here's experience that we get to get with it now. And most of us, we come from that military background where all of our learning is very technical, and that's how we learn, is through the hands-on training environment. And when we have that in a classroom setting, it hardens our knowledge, and we grasp the subject more clearly, and the transparency is there, and it's not like it's going to get diluted, because now we understand the concept and we can play with it. Now, I'm not saying that it works for every veteran. What I'm saying is, it works from what I've seen, okay, because I learn better that way, and I also learn better through memorization, but, I mean, that's a whole different thing, so. I wanted to point that out. I don't know.
Yeah, let's continue to focus a little bit more on the interaction with faculty members in the class.
Most of my experience with faculty has been actually really, really good. I have had like one instance which was like, oh my God, which was the I was supposed to be adding a Psych 14 class, and you know, every teacher asks, you know, if you have to have your cell phone on, you know, let her know or whatever. Usually that's how I do, you know, I usually truthful about it. I don't just sit there in the, you know, back of the class like looking at my cell phone or anything. So I actually raised my hand, was like, oh, you know, I need to keep my cell phone on in case of emergencies as far as my soldiers, my reserve soldiers. And she just was like, whatever, you're not important enough to have your cell phone on. You know, you're not pulling anything over on me. I used to be National Guard, or no, she said she used to be Coast Guard, and that I wasn't going to pull a fast one over on her, and that she did all these important things as far as Coast Guard, and it's just, that has nothing to do, like, in the classroom. Like, that's great, you know, you did all these great things, but I'm trying to learn, like, Psych 14 here, this has nothing to do with that. And so she gave me an ad code, and I totally just threw it away. I didn't take that class. But then I've had teachers who are really, really good, like, who love the fact that I had all this, like, hands-on experience as far as medical sides go. And she was really, you know, I can understand how some of veterans wouldn't want, like, a lot of interaction with some teachers, because some people are, like, don't really like to have the spotlight put on them, but with me, she was really good. You know, she always asked questions about my input on, you know, ideas of, because we were reading, like, Buffalo Boy and Geronimo and Buffalo Boy, and, like, she asked me a lot of my opinions, and, like, I didn't mind, because I'm more of, like, one of those open people, but you do still have those veterans, because I have a friend who's taking the same class with the same teacher, and he hates her. Like, he hates the fact that, you know, most of her books are war, and that she does try to seek out the veterans. So, I mean, there's different views on that. We also had a friend who told us, like, 2 quarters ago when they were doing the construction over S buildings, I think. There was a big thud because they had dropped something, and he totally, I guess, either had a flashback or a really bad memory, and he said, excuse me, I need to be excused for the class. And the teacher just flat out said, no, you're not allowed to leave. And if you do, you'll get a 0 for this class, like this class day. And he was, you know, freaking out.
Did the professor know that he was a vet?
He told us that she did, but that's him. He was just telling us a story.
No.
But I thought that was like, wow. So yeah, those are my 2 bad experiences.
I've had good experiences with the professors, all the ones I've had, but I do see all the complaints that usually come to the veterans office. And one in particular was, I'm not going to say any of the names involved, but basically the professor wrote on this former military person, this veteran's paper, that she expected better work from a government employee. And I was shocked that the professor wrote that, just because, you know, that's a it's something solid that you could show someone else. It's not just like they said something, he said, she said. And then that's the biggest one I've seen. And there's other little ones where vets have problems with professors, but overall, my experience has been good. So, but I know it does happen. Of course, it does happen.
If I can just quickly say, I've had a lot of positive experiences. I think that a lot of them, like you said, have been happy, and even have me share my experiences in class, even just but briefly and this deep. You know, every now and then, I think sometimes a professor's personal beliefs might find their way into a particular lecture, and I've had a couple occasions where somebody has gone out of their way to point out, you know, why we're over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I try to just let that roll off, and I really don't say anything. But other than those minor instances that I try not to make a big deal out of, the faculty here has been overwhelmingly supportive and good. So, for me.
I have to say the same. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from a lot of I have three classes right now. The teachers that I have all recommended me to go to the Study Skills Center, which is wonderful. I find that really helpful to me. And they even offer extra credit in their courses if you get involved with that. I think that's wonderful. So I see a lot of guidance and a lot of hands-on with the especially with my psych teacher. She gets us involved and has us do projects and stuff like that. So I've done really well. I have a very nice transition into this school. So I've had a lot of positive experiences.
So speaking of transitions, what other services, and actually that's another good segue, what other services besides, so outside of the classroom, what has helped you succeed or what have you looked for to help you succeed? And I'm going to actually, yeah, we got that. All right, so away from, besides this office, what are some of the other services? We know peers are vital, and I think we're really, really understand that. So not peers and not the veterans office. What are some of the other things that you've tried to find help, where you've tried to find help here? Student Success Center, the Tutoring Center. What else?
Okay, that's pretty much it.
That was a good thing.
Well, does that count amongst peers? Do you mean like other veterans supporting veterans don't have that?
I'm just going, we don't need to go on about that in the sense that we really, as a college, we really understand that a lot of what...
Are you a doctor in psychology? Or?
He's correct. I like that about him.
Yeah, I appreciate your doing. I've studied a great deal of psychology.
Okay, so actually, the reason why I asked that is because of how important that actual distillers room is.
Yeah.
By having an area, me and Victor were talking about this the other day, where with PTSD, you know, our issue is that we're keeping this stuff bottled inside.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that room with other veterans to get together. And I honestly feel that has helped me succeed because I have a back injury, and when I stress and my stress levels, when I start, like, I guess you could say flipping out or whatever, my back seizes up and it causes a lot of pain. But by just talking about stuff, I've talked to Steve and many veterans in the office, that it has helped me, you know, from sparing me some of that pain.
So actually, that's very helpful. So. That's the kind of thing. So what I mean by, we don't necessarily hear more about just talking to peers, but that place itself is in a way a service. There's nobody staffing it, right?
And it's us.
That's the ideology behind it, actually. It's meant for social integration for those who want to integrate, for those who want to identify, you know, for those who want a place.
And people are feeling that's helpful just to have.
And it's hard to express our feelings. With people that just don't know, you know, even doctors, psychologists who know what we're talking about, it's not necessarily, you know, even though, like you said, in this area, it's just you, there's still an element there that's leaving us kind of, our armor's we're not gonna lower down. So
I think a good place I've seen where we've been able to do it is how I come to the library. And I mean, for myself, like knowing that there's a library here, it's great. And if there's a current conflict, sometimes I'll just go sit right around that area, and I'll just plug myself into my book and I'll study away. Or as far as other programs, like the adaptive software that we have on these computers, it really does help me out because you know I forget things a lot, you know. And a lot of people don't expect that of me, but I really do. So I literally have to type everything out, and then, you know, it gets sent into my email, and then my email literally just tells me at the end of the day exactly what's going on in my life cycle, because I'll forget yesterday, I'll forget the day before. Matter of fact, I'll forget most of the month. And that's even a problem in some of my classes, but instructors, I tell them, and sometimes they help me out, but most of the time it's just like, okay, I'm just a regular student.
So I've heard about the Student Success Center. It sounds like where you get your tutoring and skills and other things. And some of you are using that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I use
the math tutoring.
I use it habitually. Like, as soon as I'm done with my class that I go to, I'm going straight to the, like, Success Center is my hangout spot, practically.
And the DeSales Collection, the DeSales Great Cabin space for yourself, the library. What else have you used?
The Math Tutoring Center?
Yeah.
And the Skill Center?
There's two separate Skill Center, but it encompasses it, so it's okay.
I haven't used it, although I have heard quite a lot about it. I haven't gotten a math yet, but when I do, I will. So I got.
He'll be there. It's only a question of when.
What about the financial aid?
Here we go. It's back to here. Here it comes.
Is that what you're going to be the dean over? I'll go back.
I probably have the worst story out of everybody, but I'd let everybody go out first. You don't really want to hear what I want to say about financial aid.
I didn't like how, I guess because I get a disability rate, that my actual income is affected by that. Now, if that's the case, I mean, it's tough for me, but the thing is, I don't like telling people that I'm injured. I don't like releasing that information, so I don't know if that...
Sure.
Worth
I agree
yet.
With that. Now I'm into the financial aid office. They just handed me the paper and said, here, fill out the application. And they didn't have any directions at all. And I was just, you know, kind of lost because, you know, I didn't know how to fill out any of that stuff. So I figured that they would have some kind of guidance with that. But they just handed me the form and said, here, do it. So.
And I just wanted, on top of that, it seems, you know, when we are claiming these disabilities, this is an ongoing process. So it also makes us feel when they're asking, okay, well, how much money, it's like, well, am I lying if I tell you what I'm making now versus what I'm making later? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. It seems like, you know, with the counseling, I wish there was also a vet rep for financial aid also, based on the fact that we need somebody who knows our side of the house. You know, our house it's got a lot of rules, so,
yeah.
That's a very good suggestion.
Right on point.
Me and Connie are just a little bit different. We do the Army Tuition Assistance. We're not actually part of the GI Bill quite yet. We don't choose to partake in that, and that's because we're reservists. So not only are we veterans, but we're reservists, so we can have dual hats.
I don't know how that works out, by the way.
Yeah, and that's the thing we're getting to. When we get charged with the cashier, there's the GI Bill and the whole process, and then, you know, there's this whole Army tuition side of the house that just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And when you go take it to the cashier, because the cashier's, one of the cashier's names is on the official one to bill, she kind of is like, that's nice. I have no clue what you're talking about. Deer in the headlights look. And it was before Connie actually started to use the program. So me and Sherry kind of just took it from her and had to figure it all out. So that was a nightmare. And I know at least one, maybe two of my quarters didn't get charged to it. So I ended up having to pay for two quarters because that DMs didn't know how to bill the Army. Not the Army wasn't going to pay for it. It's just they didn't know how to bill the Army. So
not even retroactively?
No. The Army has it. You have to do it within that fiscal year. That fiscal year passed.
Appropriations passed.
Yeah.
Tough on you.
So it's like, well, I submit all the paperwork to DeAnza. DeAnza dropped the ball. Now they're left me with the bill. So I'm looking at, like, I think $300 to $600. Yeah, bill that I have to pay now because DeAnza didn't know how to charge. So the financial aid, you know, trying to walk in there, talking to the cashier, they're like, sometimes I guess it's a student or something. It's like, okay, whatever. And okay, well, can I talk to this person right here?
I have 5 more minutes before I have to get off.
Yeah. Can I talk to this one person? One person was like, yeah, that's nice. So, who are you again? And I was like, okay, start again. And, you know, by the time you tell the story, I just want to print out a PowerPoint and hand it to them so they can read it and be like, okay, what are your questions? Can you help me with this problem? You know, start lugging around with like a slide deck or something just so I can be like, okay, this is where we're at. How can you help me?
You understand the first 6 slides. Let me go with the 7th.
Yeah. Here's your quiz. This is a graded process. But no, it's been that bad. So it's like, well, you know, now do I not pay? Because like the way that Sherry has the system is, she codes it a certain way that lets me get into classes normally. And so now I just pay it off little by little. So it's kind of like, well, thanks, guys. You just let me go into that. So now I've got $600 worth of debt that should have been paid for, that you guys should have gotten the money for. Now it's to come out of my pocket. So go for it, Greg.
Actually, Tim?
No, I'm outside of financial aid. I'm actually, because something else just popped up by him saying something.
Well, my problem was, I think this is where I've gotten my worst experience with the ANZA, actually. Overall, just this is where I've learned a great deal about how the structure of the ANZA and Foothill and the district works out, because it bothered my mind just how many doors I had to go to. The way this worked out was I took a class my first quarter in the ANZA, and I didn't do so well in that class. And I was told that I should go and reattempt. So I was like, all right, that's no problem. So I took a real bad grade. I took an F in that class on purpose. I told the instructor, give me an F because I'm going to reattempt this. And I understand that, you know, if you get a better grade, it replaces the F. So I remember the next quarter, I take myself into...
That's not necessarily true. They'll take that grade, but the...
All right, so I'm under the impression this because I was told that by a counselor, right? And I retake this class, right, the next quarter, but I don't take it with the ANZA. You know, because of my schedule at the time, because, you know, I have to pay rent for, you know, my family to keep their house. At the same time, I need to, you know, keep up myself and my GI Bill. You know, I use financial aid. My plan was to just use it, you know, for three quarters and then leave it alone, because I don't really want to deal with financial aid. So the only time I really deal with financial aid is a real messed up time for me, because I take, you know, two classes at DeAnza and then I take an online class at Foothill. And because the banner system doesn't integrate, you know, say, hey, you know, well, although we both work off the banner system, you know, your B that you just, you know, got in that class that you reattempted doesn't count into your overall GPA for DeAnza, therefore you don't get awarded financial aid for the next quarter. And because I didn't get awarded for the financial aid for the next quarter, I have to go dip into my savings, which I really didn't want to dip into those savings because it's really planned for another activity that I was really saving for. And I had to pay off like a last minute mortgage for my family, and it disrupted me. When I brought the problem here to DeAnza, I spoke to Mark Fu. Mark Fu told me to go talk to the financial aid office. I go talk to one of the people over there, it's probably like the second in command or something like that. And I told her, like, this is my problem. She was like, well, Mark didn't tell me anything. I was like, then who did Mark talk to when he addressed somebody specifically over here? Because I need to talk to somebody. And from what I understand, this B and my A and this, you know, everything should shape out to where my GPA picked itself back up for that quarter that I was at the end of. And, you know, it didn't feel so good when she told me to go back to Mark. And I go back to Mark. I was like, Mark, before I go back down over there, literally let me know who I'm going to talk to, because I need to get this done, taken care of right away, and I can't really deal with like a bureaucracy right now, because I mean, I really need to know what's going to happen with me so that I can plan for the long term. I'm not looking at this at the short term. I'm looking at this for long term, for transfer verifications, and even, you know, transferring. If you have a system that is supposed to incorporate both grades at the district level, then why use the system? Just keep the system separate, you know, for DeAnza, and keep Foothill separate so that no one else and not another veteran has experienced something like that. Case in point was, I did not get the financial aid. When I went back to financial aid and I actually asked, you know, like for the person who I was supposed to talk to, I almost flipped out. Like, I mean, this is the only time in DeAnza where I've actually experienced my stress level just go up real bad. And she talked to me so like if I was like 18, I was like, split. You know, I know what AGI means. I understand what most of your taxes, you know, how to do my taxes. I take care of myself. I'm a very independent person. Now, please, do not talk to me like I'm 18, 17, and that I live with a parent, because I live by myself and I take care of my own family. Now, I need you to see if what Mark is saying is good for me. And she said, no, it's not, and I'm sorry, you're not going to get awarded your financial aid. And I told her, like, you know, well, this creates a problem, because maybe you could bring this up somewhere, you know, within your lines, And it never got brought up, and I never got an answer back on it. I tried to, what was that, what's that petition? You remember, I put in a petition. So I put in a petition, I guess it goes somewhere. I'm not too sure where it goes to. And I get, this is what really did it for me, the professionalism. I didn't get a call, I didn't get told to go talk to a counselor. I get a simple email that says your petition was denied. Have a nice day. Do you understand where the frustration in those lines are? Just for me saying that experience. Now imagine if there was a veteran, all right, another one, all right.
Somebody, which will happen.
Which can happen. It's a scenario that's waiting to happen. If there was somebody that was that did not know how to deal with their stressors, you're going to have something very bad happen. And I can't sit by and watch that happen. You catch me? So I think that's what I wanted to say. And it's a horror story within itself.
All right, so Victor just brought up Mark Fu, and like I said, you know, all these identifying features.
No, I think Mark's a great guy.
No, I know, but anyway, let's go ahead then and shift to counseling and counselors. Let's try to stick with my questions a little bit. So first of all, take yourself back. Those of you who have used counseling services, what prompted you in the first place to say, hey, I'm going to go over to counseling? You got to walk up those stairs, right?
Because Sherry told me. You need a veteran's ed plan if you want to get paid. Go to the counseling office and get this plan back. That's exactly why any veteran would go there.
Okay. 9 times out of 10, we're going to get a fire. I got to do another ed plan.
I'll make my main points when it's ready, but I mean,
just go one by one. So that's it. Sherry tells you to go.
Well, it's just required, not just because Sherry tells us, but it's required in our file to start beginning any process of starting anything. Entitled to get into, you know, slotted so that we get to choose our classes earlier or what.
Right.
So okay. Getting the ed plan is step 4 of 8, you know. And
so I didn't even do this.
It's a very methodical way of how the Department of Veteran Affairs requires us to use our benefits. And they need something that can be audited that says that this is the reason why they're using it.
Sure, I got that. But it's like none of you feel any personal volition or motivation.
That's where I'm not using the GI Bill, and I went up to counseling because my all-time goal is I want to be a lawyer. Okay. How do I do that? Well, I don't know anybody who's a lawyer, so I went to counseling, and they're just kind of like,
great.
Yeah, great. You want to be a lawyer? Well, I don't really know, and that's where I was left. So like, off of first impressions, lasting impression, and I looked at that and I was like, wow, I'll Google it. I'm better off.
My reasoning to go up there was that I'm planning to transfer to San Jose State at some point, so I needed to know the classes I need to take, and you know, my roadmap, so to speak. You know, so I don't want to be taking any unnecessary classes I don't need. So that was my reasoning.
I think that's the same thing, except that in some cases, if the, like in Robert's case, you know, he went to the counselor and he ended up having, he overtook classes he didn't really need to take, and for his direction of study, and that's something else where you can go wrong. I don't know, it's maybe because like the counselor thought you knew what you were doing, but maybe you don't, and you just need to be, you know, new things need to be explained to you, and I think that's communication
error. Well, here, this is the point I gotta make. And so this is a veterans meeting, it's about the veterans, right? So right now, you know, August 1st, 2009, they improved the GI Bill so that veterans can go to school and collect a housing stipend so they didn't have to worry about work and they could focus on school. So now that's real important. So now veterans are going to school and that's their job. That's how they
pay their rent, feed their kids, everything. So the thing about the counsel, well, first, you don't want to waste your veterans benefits. So if you have counselors telling you to take classes that you don't need to take to get to your major or your goal, that's wasting your time and your benefits. Second, if you do not have a clearly written veterans education plan, when it comes to the office, if we don't have a clear veterans education plan, it gums up the works for the whole office, because then we have to figure out if they're eligible for these classes, because they can only be certified for classes that go towards their major. If they have a clearly written one, and we're like, okay, they can take this class, check it off the list, certify them, and then they're eligible for their money. And I hate to say it, but that's what it's about. It's about their money. This is their job. So if it's not clear, it slows the office down considerably, where things get backed up unbelievably, and it makes it, now the veterans become disgruntled because they're not getting paid on time, because the certs aren't getting done on time, because we have to put so much work into checking, doing the ed plans ourselves. And it's just, you know, without a decent ed plan that's not going to waste their time, you know, it messes up their livelihood, basically, and it backs up the veterans office at the end. And it's nothing against the counselors, you know. There's no,
God bless them.
Hey, God bless them, but, you know, if there can be some communication where what we needed is done, you know, it would solve the heartache of the veteran, it would solve, you know, the backup of the veteran's office.
So let's talk a little bit about the interaction. It sounds like, in terms of the plan, there's not a lot of ability to understand the particular needs of the veterans at
right.
the plan.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that.
I've seen this thing go through leaps and bounds. When I first got here, like I said, I think I'm the longest one that I've been here. I went upstairs because I had to get an ed plan. First time I took classes here, I was like, that sounds like a fun class. I'm probably going to get a new system E-rate. That one probably I'm going to have to take, and we're good. So I was like, cool.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, and then like this, then I came back, I was like, Sherry, okay, so took my first quarter, ready for college. It kind of was just, you know, for me to have fun, get into it. What I need to do, Sherry, go get an ed plan. So I walked up there. I'm not on the GI Bill, so they're like, oh, you need to go talk to Sherry. You're a veteran. No, I need an ed plan. So I go back down. Go back upstairs. Hey, can I talk to one of you people up here? I need an ed plan. I'm a veteran. I need to go talk to Sherry. So I think you met in the office. Come back down there. Who am I to talk to up there? Finally, I get up there. I was like, they keep sending me back down. I get up there. I ask, like, the person in charge, listen, I'm a veteran. Stop. I do not need a veteran's ed plan. I just need a regular ed plan. I was just like, oh. Okay, well, a couple quarters later, I see there's now a little button to check if you're a veteran for ed plan. So I check that thing, and, all right, go downstairs and see Sherry. This is completely different. I'm a veteran, but I just need to get an ed plan. So I go talk to the one. I have to explain it all over again. Granted, you know, it's been a few thousand students in two quarters. Still, let's start from scratch. I'm a veteran. Stop. Just need an ed plan. So finally, I just pick one person, go to them. You know, I end up going to Mark Fu, keep going to Mark Fu, because like, I went to one counselor. Oh, you want to be an English major? Here, have a liberal arts, letters and sciences. Okay, cool. Come back to re-verify that. Oh, looks, you've done the classes to have a sociology degree. Let's stick with that. Go back to another one. Oh, hey, congratulations. Say you're administration of justice. Well, cool, I've got three different degree plans. Which one do I follow? There's no cohesion between any of them. So, as far as I'm concerned, I might as well just, you know, apply for three different degrees this whole time, because I don't know exactly which one I'm going to follow. And I've told them the exact same thing. It's the quickest way for me to get my degree. That's all I want. My degree. Just my degree to walk away with. And so each one has a different idea of how that should be accomplished. There's no consensus between the counselors, as well as, like, oh yeah, you're a veteran, you need to go back, for the most part, you need to go back downstairs and talk to Sherry until, like, a few explanations to the head person. Just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you need to talk to Sherry. So eventually you just start signing up for individual counselors and you bypass the whole system of asking for help. You just, like, screw it. You helped me last time, let's go back. And you start to develop these interactions with these people. Oh, hey, how you doing? especially since Mark, you, he is fire service.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you get a little more familiar about that stuff. You know, you can talk the talk. You know, you feel a little more comfortable. And he works with you.
Which
he sees what happens and stuff.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you get this whole interaction done, and you're just kind of like, huh, yeah, stop. I'm a veteran. I know. I just came up here to say hi. And you walk away from, like, the head director who's telling you, go see Sherry.
Do you understand?
I'd like to give my experience, too, real quick.
We would, too, Rob.
When I first came here, I went to the veterans office. I said, I have no idea about college, nothing. I said, you just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it, and I'll get it done. And one of the first things was get an ed plan, a veterans ed plan. So I didn't really catch that whole veterans ed plan the first time. I went up there, and they did an ed plan, which was great, and I brought it down, but it wasn't a veterans ed plan. But Sherry, you know, we don't got time to waste, so, you know, she accepts that. And I think I was in, the first two quarters went fine, and this is a student ed plan where all your quarters are lined out for you. And then I get to my third quarter, and then I'm starting to see now I take a bunch of classes that I'm not qualified for yet. Maybe that was my fault a little for not checking, but, you know, I was following a plan that someone made for me. So now I have to drop these physics classes because I don't have the right math yet, right? And so... And I dropped an English class that I wasn't ready for either. So now, out of my four classes, I'm left with two classes. So now that just wasted a bunch of time for me. And then I was really upset after that. So I went a second time, and I met a counselor who I thought was a really great counselor and got my ed plan redone, this time a real veteran's ed plan. And then, you know, I went off a quarter of that, and then a quarter later, I'm taking classes, and this time I'm starting to read the ed plan more because of what happened before. And now it's like I have priority reg, and I got in all the classes I thought I needed, and then as I'm reading the ed plan, it's like, you know, I took two classes that I don't even need for my degree, you know, So I had to drop them and then get into whatever I could as fast as I could because I didn't want to waste, you know, I wanted to have a full load of classes. But since then, you know, I do my own ed plan and I'm just having fun. And it's hard. I can't do an ed plan for every veteran, but every veteran, I come in there, I try to make them aware and I try and ask them what their major is and tell them what to look for. So they're more aware of what's going on with their education plan.
I want to hear more, like about the experience. Like somebody mentioned that some counselor rolled his eyes and said, "Oh, another veteran's ed plan."
I think I think almost everybody probably has had that before.
Yeah,
everybody.
Both times they're like, "Here we go again."
That's because they're longer and we need everything written out.
For the Army TA program that we're doing, all I needed was an educational plan. And, well, when I first came here last spring, I walked into the counselor's office and I had somebody who I guess wasn't an actual counselor, was an advisor. So I walk in there and I was like, I just need an educational plan that I could use for, you know, for myself and for, you know, to see where I'm at and stuff. She had no clue what she was doing. She had to keep walking back and forth between another, I guess, an actual counselor's office and her office. So she would leave me in the office. She'd be gone for like 15 minutes. And she'd come back and she'd be like, oh, you know, this is the class that you should take. And I was like, okay, but I already have that class. She'd walk back, take another 15 minutes, come back, and she'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, we're just going to have to, you know, make a new appointment for you. And I'm like, okay, well, can I just go talk to whoever you're asking these questions to? So I go over there, and she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, she was really nice. She was really nice, but didn't know anything. So we walk over there, and the lady that she was asking questions to had a student there, but she was finishing up with him. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll wait, you know. And, you know, the student leaves. And me and the advisor were standing there at the door, and she was all like, oh, you know, I don't have time for this. I have 5 minutes, and I have to go home. And it's just like, thanks, you know? Like, and so ever since that experience, I did my own. Like, I saw, she just got the, you know, the AA, the DNs at AA, and the breath, or breath.
Yeah, the time
all that stuff, I just print it out myself. I go to assist.org, print out that stuff on myself, and I do my own checklist. And then he introduced me to Mark Fu, and I started going to him, and I'm like,
And it's a simple thing. The only thing that might be tricky is for whatever individual degree, they might have to read a little bit in case there's classes that are listed, but you don't really need to take them or something.
I did that myself, and then they just signed it.
Yeah, what about, tell me more about the interaction. So some of you have mentioned a certain counselor who seems to understand your needs better. What about the interaction with some of the other counselors?
Not too good.
Rude.
Not good at all.
Rude, rolls their eyes, sighs. Kind of almost like they don't want to be there. And it's just like, dude, that's your job.
Like a counselor speaks from, you know, like basically has guidance. And that's, we understand that term. And then when we go to these counselors and they have zero guidance, it sounds like this, it's an office of oxymorons that we don't want to associate ourselves with because it doesn't make sense.
Can anybody give any specific examples?
Sure, I'll give one. All right, so this is like right after, I think, my third quarter, and things were starting to shape up, you know, around, and I was like, all right, cool, so if I go up here, someone's going to exactly know what I'm talking about. And I go up there, and I'm like, all right, so I need to just see my overall progress at where I'm at, because I think, I'm pretty sure I'm on concrete on what I want to major in now. And they're like, okay. It's like, I'm a veteran. I thought I was going to just do journalism, but now I'm leaning towards, you know, sociology. And, you know, because I want to do something with social work eventually now. I'm starting to learn that. And, you know, I had a couple internships. I had one internship by that time. And here it is, going there, and she's like, so that means I got to do an ed plan. I'm like, yeah, that means you have to do an ed plan for me. And she's like, well, I'm not the veteran counselor, that's Sherry. I was like, no, you're a counselor. Like, Sherry's job is to certify me. That's why she's called the VA certification official. You're a counselor. And I was like, I'm not trying to say what your job is. What I'm trying to let you know is that Sherry's function is very different from your function. Your function is to let me know that these are the classes I need to take, these are some programs I could get myself into, and this is my overall objective, this is how I complete that objective. And what I got was, I don't have time for you right now. And she's like, and if you need to, what you're supposed to do is schedule an appointment to get a vet education plan done. I was like, so if that's the case, if a veteran wants to come here and you tell them that they need an appointment and they're new to DeAnza, they're going to have to wait on an appointment, wait to get their certification done, and still wait on the VA. And by that time, the quarter's already passed. I guarantee it. And she looked at me and she's like, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And I was like,
sounds like it's your problem.
Like, thank you very much. Have a nice day. I'll be sure to note, you know, and not to ever come next to you again. I that's the experience. So.
Sounds Mark too though.
I do like Mark. Mark knows. Like, sure, pick it. Yeah, Final Fit has a very good program. Like, let me show you. And then he says, not just that, but you know, Humboldt does too. I know you like the outdoors. Like, he knows I like the outdoors. And he's like, Humboldt has a very good program on that. Like, yeah. And you know what's funny? You know, Humboldt's going to accept most of my ACE credits that I actually got from the military. You know, DeAnza doesn't accept them. That's a big one for all of us, because guess what? I can guarantee you there's at least, you know, half of what we already know, there's been stuff that we already got trained in that includes more knowledge collegiate level of understanding, because it's so technical. So for me, it's like, okay, I want to go back into accounting and logistics. I should just go to Alaska University right now. They'll accept all 68 of my credits, plus whatever I did at DeAnza and at Chapman, and I think I only need 3 more classes, and I'll be done with the BA. But I don't want to do logistics. I beg to differ. When I have something like that, and it's like, hey, those are my transcripts, like, oh, I got to start all over again. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. Almost like our service is senseless. Yeah. It has no purpose.
Yeah. I think maybe somewhere in the fine lines,
somewhere up there, you know, I'm not saying this is what counseling, I'm saying there's just some paperwork, left hand on top of the right hand, you know, this is American, what is it, ACE?
Yeah, they're all American Council of Education qualified courses. Like this, they have said this counts for credit, and CSU is taking for credit, UC is taking for credit. D'Angelo is like, hey, congratulations, you now have 150 worth of credits. I'm sitting at 300 credits right now, and I don't have an AA degree.
Something's wrong with this. Counted as PT.
Oh yeah, that's.
Yeah. You don't have. You're in the military. You have to know how to run. We know you know how to run.
What's funny is there's no grunts here, huh? We don't have any infantry. You're the only grunt here. So, like, playing summer, I don't know, it's just weird.
Well, the thing with that, too, like, when I had gone
to
that...
So we've all been to MOS school, that was my point. All have, so this is one out of...
They get...
I want to hear some more of the experiences with...
Well, with my first, when I had told you about, you know, going to the other person, right, that was another big thing that made me feel basically worthless, was I'm a medic. I put my hands in people's bodies, you know, you kind of have to know the structure, you know, the lungs are here, you know, the heart's right, and that's part of physiology and anatomy, definitely, right? You know, like, oh, look, you know, someone's arm's over there, it's connected to, you know, the shoulder, right? So it's just like, I mean, with other schools, because I was stationed in Texas, and other schools around Texas, they definitely counted all those, all the psychology, the physiology and anatomy, they counted all of that, but here, they're like, oh yeah, you know, we don't count any military stuff, and it was just, and then when we talked to the other lady, she was all like, not only did she have to go home right at 5, you know, she just flat out said, yeah, we don't count military, bye, have a nice day. Her exact words.
A counselor here.
Wow. She said those exact words. I cannot emphasize those exact words. I'm pretty sure she is.
Yeah, she is. Probably the same
judge.
And it was just like, I was not only did I like go home, and I have this like thing where I don't show anger very easily, so I just go home like crying. So it was just like really bad, and it made me feel worthless, you know?
My experience with the ed plans has been basically that it seems like everyone knows that it's a formality. Like, a couple of us were saying, like, we basically go in and do it ourselves. I only had to do it twice, and it seems like both times, the first time I went in, a couple of people said already, like, they tell you have to make an appointment. Well, when can I make an appointment? Oh, we're booked until the end of, like, 2 months from now. It's like, okay. I think Tim or Victor was saying that by the time you book the appointment, go to the appointment, get it done, turn it back into the VA and get it back, like, the quarter's already over, and that really happens. So
this
second time I went in, I didn't even make an appointment. I just wait. I didn't even know you could do that. You can just sit there and wait for someone to be open, which took like 5 minutes versus the 2.5 months that scheduling an appointment took. So that was awesome. But when I went in there, she had, like I said, it was a formality. She didn't really know what it was I needed. I know what it was I needed, so I could go in there and tell her, like, hey, I changed my major from this to this. I changed the school that I'm trying to go to. So, like, I didn't have the problem that most of these guys did because, like I said, I knew what I needed, and I just got it out of her. But it does seem like it's a formality to them, and they don't know what we need, and they don't realize that most of these guys have been out of school for 4+ years, you know? Most of us don't understand how school works anymore. So we don't get the bureaucracy and how courses transfer and, like, all that stuff, especially study skills, too. A lot of us being in the military for four years have lost study skills, so it's just a huge transition coming back, and they don't realize that kind of stuff because they're probably used to dealing with kids that are right out of high school and really haven't had that break. So,
or people that may have just partied, and they come back, so they're just done partying versus us
who actually chose to come back.
Yeah, we partied. Don't get me wrong.
But what I did want to say was that Sherry has been just an excellent resource. Every time I've gone in there, she knows exactly what you need, how to get it, who to get it from. She knows what you're going through. She's been, or not been there, done that, but she's been there and helped everyone else with that before. So any problem you have, you can go to her, and she's just like, yeah, do this, go see this person, and so on. And we just need someone like that that works up in the counselor's office.
I'm going to point out one thing that that I really did like. This quarter, I had it implemented just because it's you know, and most it's mostly because of these guys that I've actually had to do it just for myself, for myself, and for the sake of the guys that I, you know, that I hang around with. And from academics, I actually identified, you know, I finally got my doctors to sign off on some paperwork, take it through Disability Student Services, and from there, I talked to, you know, John Butcher. And, you know, I already know him, but the thing was, like, he really looked out for me, you know, his counselor like that, that you find in disability, it really does make a difference to have somebody who's like, okay, there's a couple things that you can work on. I think we're one of the loopholes in that department would be how, like, for me, I get times two for my testing, and I have to be in a quiet environment, not distracted environment. And when I'm taking those tests, I do phenomenally well when I'm in those environments, just real quiet, and I get that time, which I need because I'm not stressed out. So when that happens, what I've noticed is that there are some veterans that are just like, they do the same thing, but they totally don't understand who Rose is, you know, saying that this is where I go for testing and what that counselor is. They think that there's identity in one. And again, that's another sort of problem where the left hand's not talking to the right hand, where it's like, well, you have to go bring your papers over there. It's like, okay, so if I get these classes, what do I have to do next? You know, could you just give me a plan, something concrete? If people were to see that in the administration fields, you know, like, here is what you have to do, you know.
Like a roadmap.
Not just a roadmap, but an overall guide, you know, like, if we were to put our brains together, I guarantee you, you know, all of us can make, like, a very good roadmap where if somebody was to come into DeAndre as a veteran and say, wow, like, this is where I have to go, this is what I need to do if I have this, X, Y, Z, very methodical, plans put straight forward, you'd have some successful results. And where the difference really lies in saying that, it's just like, I felt so bad when I had literally that same counselor I told you about who's, like, you know, I'm just going to waste your time. I literally told her, like, you know, the sad part is that I can actually do your job, you know, like, probably 10 times better than what you can, and deal with probably 5 times as many more students as you have, and you probably have a degree. And that's the only thing that separates you and me. You look better on a piece of paper, but when it comes to my work ethic, I guarantee you, I can outdo you. And that right there let me know, like, yeah. It's just, it's an environment where some of us shouldn't have to be suffering, you know, and sometimes it does feel like that.
So. May I just share briefly my counseling experience, and I guess I've been pretty lucky in hearing your stories, was pretty good. I came in, I was very focused, I wanted to be a teacher, and I'm going to go to the University of Arizona when I finish what I need to do here. So I came in to see Natasha Joplin, and she was very welcoming, real sweet, and just said, this is your first time going to school in something like 9-10 years. So where can we start? You know, here's the boxes we need to check. Which ones do you want to check first? And I said, that looks fun, that's cool, yeah, you know, let's do environmental science or something. So that's what we did, and, you know, she just hooked me up. I had a great quarter, came back again the next quarter. I couldn't get her just because of a time constraint, so I went with another counselor. I forget his name, but he was also very helpful. And I guess it really, what I'm trying to get to is, just to echo what he said, is establishing that good roadmap, which really hinges on us knowing what the hell we want to do and where we want to do it, because if they don't know that, how can they build you a ladder to where, you know, wherever you're going to go, right, if you don't know? So there's a lot of responsibility on us. I don't feel like it's all on them. And, I guess that's really all I want to say.
I've gone into, like, a transfer center over there, I think it was almost a year ago. And I walked in there during normal business hours. I signed my little name and stuff. I was like, so, these are the colleges I want to go to. You guys help me do a transfer plan? Sure, go to SIS.org. I'm like, well, thank you. That's completely awesome. I'm so glad you helped me out with that. So moving on, let me go finish up my degree because at least I'll take that tomorrow. So I never really went back to the transfer center. I was like, yeah, that's not exactly the helpful place to help anything. And then from, that's a completely different story now, is when I brought all my credits from the military to try and get them accredited out at the end. I had to talk to somebody, works over by Sherry, I forget what his name is. I had to go talk to him, so I sent an email. I said, sure, these are great. I sent him all the age paperwork, I did all the legwork for him. I was like, this is age, said it should be this, you know, other colleges have given this, you know, can we find something along these lines? Yeah, the fellow sounds great. Love to do this for you. Just go talk to the dean. Go over try and see the dean for mathematics, because I had a lot of trig and science stuff that felt right between, so they wanted to iron out which one was. Dean said, yeah, walked in to see a little admin person there. Dean's not going to see you. It's like, okay, why not? I mean, granted, I know you're a doorkeeper, but I need to go see him. And if you don't want, this is really cool. Walk over to the door. I'm at the door now. This is the right one? No. You know, it's like you're not doing a great job there. But they're like, it basically wound down that I had to fill out so many forms, and that, you have to go talk to the guy that's over by Sherry. Well, he said I had to talk to you. No, I go talk to him. No, you have to talk to the dean. All right, guys, you know, I'm familiar with ping pong, and this feels very similar, so let's get this stuff ironed out. And finally, you got to a point where they were like, well, we can't do it. These are not like, you know, I'm going to go teach you how to do something. These are like, you know, we sit down, we get a block of science, we have 40-hour instruction by something that's accredited. We sit down there, we learn, we get tested on it, and we move on. But it's still just as rigorous, in fact, 10 times rigorous than anything that the answer could ever offer. And yeah, they're like, oh yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, just to give an example, Dr. Anderson, there's like, for I know on the Marine side of the house, and even the Army, we do have what they could the platoon leaders courses, and we have to do extended courses. That means that while we're going through these courses, they're designed at a military curriculum where we're doing leadership training plus a regular you know physical work. But then, at the end of it, the flip side of it is, when it's downtime, you have like stuff that's around this big, and it ranges from whether it be algebra, geometry, advanced algebra. You know, if you're learning about nuclear, biological, chemical, then you're gonna know something. You know, you're gonna know physics. You have to know your bio concepts. You have to know your chemical compositions. And that stuff's geared into what those credits are. So for us, you have to understand where that frustration really comes from. It's like, what we learn is not going to be counted here at this level, where maybe it can offset us not to be here at the end of so long, because we're on a limited time constraint to use, if you're using a GI Bill, to use that, because we have X amount of months. And because it's not being used the proper way, it's like, well, I better hurry up and try to transfer without an AA or something to show that I was at a community college, because my chances are very slim that I'm going to get that BA if I keep on going through this process.
But transferring classes in general, though, like for me, while I was in the military, I went to college, and I actually, it was the only reason why it was so hard for me to transfer some of those classes was because they were semester. As opposed to DeAnza, where they're run by quarters. So there's like an anatomy and physiology class that I did take outside the military that DeAnza was counting. And going through that process, I got like four or five people's emails and their phone numbers. Every one of them, go somewhere else, go there, go, oh, I'm sorry, that's not my department. So I just kind of gave up, and I'm like, oh, I'll just take the class over.
Even if these things count for entry-level courses, you know, just the bare basics, you know, that's fine, because that puts us ahead of the power curve starting from day one.
And it makes doesn't make you feel like what you, all of our time.
All that work.
Yeah, all that work, and then the military just, they make you work.
And it's not like these courses are like, oh my God, it's, you know, really military terms. You go to ACE, they give you a breakout. You bring an arts transcript in, I forget what it is.
SMARTS,
the Marine Corps. You bring that in. Yeah. And you say, this is what they should give me. Okay, what can DeAnza do? We've never seen that document before, so you don't know who the American Council of Education is. Nope. Okay, awesome, rock on. This one. And it's like, seriously, you know, I did a little research on them. I read the, you know, the whole thing, and I know why they're there, the whole the Dante's program, and how they interact, and the cool, and all this new other stuff, and it's like,
Okay, that's fine. Give me a cut course for crying out loud. You know, give me, you know, at least give me like a little bit, you know, throw me a bone of some sort, you know, a little nibble of cheese so I'm not sitting here spending all this extra money. And it's like, no, you know, you've had, what was it, military writing styles, I've done all these correspondence courses. I've gone to PLDC, which is a warrior leaders course for us. I've got a spot for ALC, they're not going to count me in that. Whereas UCs and CSUs are like, yeah, that's fine. At their level, at the higher level, baccalaureate level credits in English and writing. The end of it is like, yeah, you can't even get into ERA 1 or 1B with that.
Yeah.
And it's like this, if I go to, and when I say better, I mean in bachelor's program, master's program, if I go to a better college, yeah, they're going to accept them, whereas the ends can't even, like,
acknowledge.
Yeah, they can't, they're so focused on, you have 2 years and you get a degree, they're not even bothering to open up their thing and say, you know what, let's count that one as credit, you know, or, you know, hey, if you take this one, we'll give you credit for two, you know, so that way, and you pass this one with, like, a B or above, we'll give you credit for both of those, make sure you have some sort of end. Understanding, you're not, you know, BSing your way, so, you know, something like that. Next.
I think I've heard most of what they've asked me to learn more about. We've heard a lot about, you know, your in-class experience, the support you get from peers, the support you get from your own space, the support you get from the Student Success Center, the varying quality of the support you get from counseling and financial aid, the support, of course, you get from the VA office, the Veterans Services office. Those are the main things that they asked me to ask about. So the final question before we pick up the last free lunch that you'll ever get. Is there anything else that you think, because, you know, after I analyze the results and put it all together, then, you know, the president will read it, the vice president will read it, the new dean of counseling starts, like, I'm not sure she'll read it her first week, but she'll read it too. So folks are going to read this. This is your opportunity. Is there anything else that you think DeAnza needs to know about the needs of veterans students?
I just think that Mr. Don Swenson, I think he's a great asset, especially to veterans, yeah. And I just wish that there was more people like him.
Yeah. Mr. Swenson and Sherry are both phenomenal at what they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could consider it a suggestion. I know these people are busy, but if Swenson and Sherry can get together, maybe set something up to maybe set up, you know, a liaison for these offices and financial aid and counseling and stuff like that. So,
what about giving us priority registration, not priority registration with, like, the classes, but with the counselors? I mean, if we, you know, saw, like, Mark Fu and a few of the others that are really good, you know, beginning part of the quarter, only let them deal with veterans, and then they can take any of the overflow that the other counselors have in between those times, so that way we know that we get a good ed plan set down in stone. Mm. And empower them, like, you know, hey, give them the direct line to whoever they got to call to see if those courses are going to transfer, so that way they can give you the most ironclad degree plan that you can get, because here there's another constraint of credits, too, because now I can only take so many credits, and I tried to jump that hurdle once, you know, take more credits than I was able to, and they're like, yeah, good luck. And it's like, well, seriously, it's not like I'm sitting here for my own fun and games. I need to get these things done in a timely fashion. And to take, like, one more credit, I had to go talk to the dean, and I had to go talk to the professor, and I had to go talk to the little guy at the bus stop. I don't know. But it just, seriously, it was like, how many people do I have to just, you know, give them the ability to sign off on that, just so I can get those classes done, because, like, literally by the time I got into that class, they told me, oh, you've lost your priority registration. You're going to fill out, if you can get in this class, it's because everybody else is going to be able to get in before you. I'm like, well, I'm not just sitting here because I want to take this class quickly. I'm taking some so I can get the most bang for my buck. And they're not realizing that it is about money for us. Even though we want to get the best education we can, it is about what we can afford to do in the time that we have allotted here.
Kind of like what's said about having a liaison in each one of these offices, I think it would be great, even if
even if something as little as like Sherry just spending 5 minutes with one counselor saying like, hey, these guys have been out of school for so long, like they don't necessarily know where they want to go or what they want to do or how to get all of this done in general. Like if she could just spend 5 minutes with one of the counselors so that that one counselor would have a better idea of our needs, it would greatly improve the quality of service. And you're probably aware of the, what was it called? That like meeting we had a while ago, the bunch of panel. Yeah, the panel, the veterans panel. Like something like that. It didn't even have to be as long as that was. Just something kind of giving them a profile of us and our needs and how we're different than the average student just would greatly increase the effectiveness.
Sensitivity training, in other words. I'll be honest, it needs, for us, I mean, specifically, and these guys won't tell you, but we're starting to get cramped up in there. We're really up.
Did we not cover that yet?
I didn't know.
Is this open mic right now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Vicky said it.
Go. I'm done.
We got like 500 veterans in the office.
Not 500 veterans. I mean 500 veterans that are on campus.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is, well, it gets pretty cramped in there. It feels like 500.
It feels like it's 500.
Yeah, but I mean, we have our little closet, and we love our closet. But, you know, what I do is I spend a lot of time when I see guys with military gear, you know, I want to bring these guys and gals together, you know, and since we've done a fair share of recruiting,
we got
our office, it used to be, you know, when me and Vic first started, it was like
3-4.
No, one or two.
You. I was always in that. You. That's like everything that you and me have been able to discuss and like you've seen stuff progress, those are where all those ideas really stem from, okay? And that, like, and you know how you're saying, well, what DeAnda's doing is, it's because we have people that actually care about what's going on with our collective. And I've been at those meetings, and I encourage anybody who is in a leadership stance with veterans to go into these meetings where they're talking about, you know, what's going on with democracy, what's going on with the DASD, what's going on with the campus overall. And what he's saying, it was just me in there for a long time, and before you know it, I was just like, okay, foundation's built, time to get them in. And
so the last 6 months, I pretty much everywhere, whenever I see a veteran, I'm just like, do you know about, you know, the Student Veterans Association? We have an office. Yeah, sorry. So GI time.
Yeah.
Got to let everyone know, fair time. But yeah, now this office has gone from, you know, it used to be go get the key from the person. Now when I go in there, they recognize me and they tell me before I came in, there's somebody already up there. And now that office is being ran literally from open a business to close a business. And now we're actually turning people away because our what was it? They took one of our desks because they needed to. I guess there's just not enough desks. Apparently, they need to take ours. So
you know, there was a misconception.
Well,
right?
There's not enough. It's too packed now. Now this environment that we have. And Swenson's working on it.
Has nothing to do with John Swenson, to tell you the truth, okay? Because, you know, we could keep on mentioning his name. Between you and me, you know, he's a guy who just wants to make stuff happen. But this is coming directly, without being filtered, from veterans to up there, right? There needs to be better space, bigger space. Reason why, all right? I'll give you three good reasons. One, all right, quickly, because I know it's 3 o'clock, right? One, all right, allow somebody to like literally vent off in a proper environment that's controlled by no other people than the people they feel comfortable around. Two, better education experience. When they come in, sometimes they don't even want to talk. They just want to go straight to studying. My man over here, all right? Probably the most smartest guy I've bumped into in a long time. But he's always studying, okay? And he's by himself, and he needs a quiet environment. He likes that, all right? Three, crying out loud for veterans. All right, I think there comes a point where it's like, we don't want to deal with just the students. Sometimes it's like, all right, I need to socially interact with somebody who might understand exactly what's going on in my life. And it doesn't have to be PTSD, TBI, depression, whatever the case may be. It could be something as simple as like, hey man, I need a job. And the thing is, I'm trying to go through this thing and it's not happening for me. And where else are you going to get that type of information? I told him about the Tesla opportunity. Now, if that doesn't exist, he probably would have not known about Tesla.
you know, a green job, something that's environmentalist, you know.
Networked. Yeah, adding on to that, like, that office has become as much of a resource to us veterans as anything else. Like,
absolutely.
Tim and I, we met up there and we started carpooling 2 days a week, and that's great for both of us. Mm-hmm. Rob, he's kind of starting in calculus, and I'm in differential equations right now, so I've been able to, like, help him tutor. It's become
and that circles
huge
down to helping you with algebra.
Yeah, it's become
a huge no, seriously, I got an A in algebra because I was over at his house studying until freaking midnight. And he was just, you know, yeah, I love math. It's cool. You know, not talking to him, but, like, you know, I needed that, and he was there for us. So
it's a wonderful meeting ground for all of us veterans to be able to help each other with little stuff. Like, and that one good counselor, like, I can find out from these guys, like, oh, there's this one good counselor, go see him.
Yeah.
It's a huge resource because we can share all of our collective knowledge with each other. And if we have a small space,
we can't fit
enough people in there to share it all with.
Because we've got work.
Relating to another veteran, military personnel is an unexplainable anybody that hasn't been in the military.
Awesome.
It's, you know, compared to just the students here, you know, you share it from there, and the connection is crazy, and having that place to connect is awesome.
Thank you.